Good to see you, man. Y'all happy to be in God's house tonight? Amen. I'll tell you what, I'm so excited to be here with you this evening. We're going to continue our next installment of this series we've been doing called Building Our Success Scripturally. Look at your neighbor and tell them, do it like a boss. Like a boss. I can't say thanks enough for everything you guys did to bless Marcia and Anna and Zoe and I on Sunday for Pastor Appreciation. And Mike and Wendy Roof, they got me this massive coffee cup that it actually would be massive for most people, but it fits my hand perfectly. But it's like three times the size of a normal coffee cup, and it says, like a boss. As I was drinking out of it this morning, I could fit like three quarters of a pot of coffee in it. And I sent him a picture of it, and he was sending me pictures back of, I don't know, whatever it was you're out there looking at in the wilderness. Where were you today? LaPorte. Cool. It was beautiful. I had frost on it. Let Mike and Wendy know how much you love them tonight. But the whole premise of this series we've been doing is understanding the fact that our work and the way we work is important. Amen? And so the way we work is a witness. If you think about the fact that we will spend the majority of our waking hours of our life as adults working, and we spend more time with those we work with than even we do with our family, then it's critical that we understand the way we work. We have an opportunity to present Christ in that and really leave a legacy and leave a lasting impact. And the way we work can open a door for others. And so tonight, it's an incredible privilege for me to have somebody very, very special here with us. And his name is John Smucker, and his lovely wife Heidi is here with him, and his daughter Casey, and a gentleman named Robert, who is a good friend of theirs and works with them. And would y'all give them a hand tonight? Let them know how much you appreciate them coming all the way up. And so let me give you a quick little bit of background here, because I want to get out of the way so he can share with you tonight. But they own the coffee company in Lancaster. I've gone there several times. I love it. They have this carrot cake that's like this tall, and it's absolutely amazing. And they have the best. I'm a little bit ignorant. I know what I like, but what is the picture on your wall of the, is it a latte? And then they do like this and make the real, oh my goodness, best latte you've ever had in your life. And tell you what, it's just incredible. But John served at Worship Center on staff for the last 13 years. And so not only have they done phenomenal things and been privileged to be used by God all over the world in ministry, but also in the marketplace. And so he's going to talk to us tonight about risk, and I don't want to give it away. I love him with all my heart, and he has been a part of the team that has overseen me and Marcia for the last decade. And so there have been many times, every time I'm down there, he looks me in the eyes and said, how you doing? And he really wants to know. And so they're great friends of ours, and they're people that I think the world of. And would you just give a big victory welcome to John Smucker tonight?
Thanks. You can all sit down. You don't have to do that. Let's pray. God, thank you for who you are. Thank you for your anointing in our lives. Thank you that you love us and you care for us. In Jesus' name, amen. It is a privilege to be here. Heidi, you need to stand up. I've been married to this beautiful lady for almost 25 years. And then my daughter, Casey, you need to stand up. She's been in our lives for 22 years. And then Robert, who's been with us. You can stand up, Robert. Come on, man. Robert is he's a good friend of ours, and he is he's on our team as one of our managers. And we spent the morning today up in Pine Plains, New York, if anybody knows where that is, visiting the person that roasts our coffee for us and learning about coffee. And then we drove over here. So as Josh was saying, it's been a journey for us over the last 40 years of our lives. I'm 48, so you know I haven't worked 40 years of my life, but almost. Okay, but the first portion of my life, my first career, I was in construction. I spent about 20 years in the construction industry, and when I left that company, I was the operations manager of a firm that was had about 150 guys on the field. In addition to that, we had about 150 subcontractors, and I managed that and managed the field operations of that organization. And then God said, hey, you need to take a risk and move into the nonprofit world and move into full and vocational ministry. And so we spent the last 13 years, or I spent the last 13 years on staff at the Worship Center doing, I started on staff there as a small groups director. And I started helping people to get around instead of sitting in rows in church, sitting in circles. And beginning to understand what it's like to build relationships and all of those things. And so I did that for a few years. And then as happens in the church world, you get added responsibility. And so I got added onto my plate family ministries, which was marriage ministry. And Heidi and I love to work with young married couples. And we do a lot of premarital mentoring and those kinds of things. And so we spent a few years doing that. And then for the last 6 or 7 years, I've been the missions director and family life pastor at Worship Center, and have had the opportunity to travel around the world and see what God's doing in many places around the world. And it's been a really cool journey. But then about 3 years ago, so you have to understand something about me, okay? I cry when I talk. Okay, so when I just stop, it just means I'm just crying a little bit because that's just what I do. Okay, so about 3 years, and if I come to this side and I don't see my wife and my daughter, I can talk much better. Okay, no, I'm kidding. So about 3 years ago, we had the opportunity to purchase a cafe, a coffee shop. It's a restaurant. We do breakfast, lunch, and dinner, but we serve incredible coffee and serve incredible food. Anyway, we think so. And God kind of started. I had always had this dream to own a restaurant, but never thought I would do that. I love to cook. I like to eat, all of that stuff. That's why I have this stomach on me, because I like to eat. And so we always thought maybe someday we'd do that, but we never thought that that would be something we would do. And so it just kind of happened that God kind of opened this door for us, and we bought we have partners, my brother and his wife and Heidi and I, we bought this business. And we began to work in this business. Heidi manages it. And then about a year ago, we began to say, what should we do here? Like, we want to expand our business, but we don't have anybody that's spending full-time time in it. And we began to process that and pray. And after a while, we felt like God saying, okay, John, you might be time for you to step out of vocational ministry and go back into the business world. And that's a risk, because over here in vocational ministry, I get a paycheck every week, and I have health insurance, and I have everything taken care of, and don't have to really worry about anything. But then, you know, all of a sudden they're like, ugh, like, what do I do now? Like, if I'm going to step into this world, I'm going to have to take this risk. That somebody said to me when we began this process, if you do this, are you willing to lose everything? And I said, well, I don't really think so. But if that's what we're supposed to do, then I guess that's what you have to get ready to do, because that's what risk is all about. And so we said, you know what? We're gonna walk towards open doors. And so we began to walk towards open doors. And this is how I've lived my life. We've lived our lives like this all the time. When we left the business world 15 years ago, 13 years ago, it was an open door. We just walked through the open door until the door closed, and it didn't close. So we kept walking, and we stayed in that for a while. And then this door began to open over here, and we said, all right, God, is this really what you want us to do? And he said, and it felt like he was saying, just keep walking towards the open door. We did. Now, I loved being the missions director of a church, because there's so many incredible things that are happening around the world because of incredible men and women who are willing to risk everything to talk about Jesus to people that are far from God. And that is incredible to see people do that. And so this was like, it was a really cool journey. And to say, okay, God, I'm going to walk away from that. I'm going to jump into this other world was a risk. You know, our culture today tells us that taking a risk is not often a good thing. We do everything that we can to make our lives as safe as possible. How many of you put your seatbelt on to come over here today? Yeah, almost everybody, except Robert, who doesn't wear his seatbelt ever. So, you know, we have We have front airbags. We have side airbags. We have safety measures everywhere. We have video cameras in our kids' crib to make sure everything is perfect when they're sleeping. Am I correct? That's what we do today, because our society today has this aversion to risk. And how many of you remember leaving the house in the morning when you were a kid and only coming back for either a meal or when it got dark? Yeah, most of you. And how many of you remember sitting on your dad's lap when he was driving the car? Yeah, how many? I stood on the seat beside my dad with my arm on his shoulder. That's what I did. I think we all turned out okay. What do you think? It's okay. See, risk is okay. But our world today doesn't say that. In fact, my dad would let me steer sometimes when I was sitting on his lap. That's craziness. Now, I'm not saying that these safety measures in our lives are bad. That's not the point. But I think what happens when we live in this world where we have this aversion to risk, we try to put ourselves into this bubble. And this bubble becomes ingrained in us. And so then it's really hard for us to step out of that comfort zone that we're in. That was the case for us. We had to really process how to deal with this. You know, our colleges and universities, they teach classes on how to manage the risk in our lives. How about if they would teach classes saying, let's help you take a risk? But no, they teach classes on how to manage the risk in our lives. Once again, I don't think that being aware of risk is wrong. That's not my point. I just want us to make sure that we don't stop taking the risks that God's asking us to do. So as I talk tonight, I want you to think about it in those terms. I want you to think about, what's God asking me to do? What is God asking you to do? So have you ever been in a situation where you wish you had taken a risk, but you just didn't have the courage to jump? I'm sure we've all been in those cases. Because we thought, you know what, I just can't do this. I just can't jump. What keeps us from doing that? It's much easier to stay in our comfort zone. Way easier to stay in our comfort zone. But what happens when our gospel becomes a gospel that has an aversion to risk? What happens? What if this church was a church that didn't take risk? I imagine many of you would not be sitting here today. If this church wasn't willing to reach out to people around them and take a risk to share Jesus Christ with people that are far from God, many of us would not be sitting here today. So what is it? What is it that keeps us from that? In our church at the worship center, back in 1976, there was a group of 30 people that took this risk to go to Jamaica. It was the very first mission trip they'd ever been on. They went to Jamaica on a mission trip. And if we wouldn't have done that, if the people in that church would have not done that, those 30 people, we would not be impacting the world the way we are today. Because we would have had this aversion to risk. So Casey, how old are you? 22? About 10 years ago, I took this group of kids to a water hole on Pine Creek. Okay, you guys all know where Pine Creek is, am I right? And so to get to this water hole, we had to walk back the creek about a mile and a half. It's out near Slate Run. You guys all know where Slate Run is? Okay, we walked back this water hole, and we get to this water hole, and it's deep, and there's a waterfall there. Some of you have probably even been there. There's a water hole that there's a little water slide. There's a little like a whirlpool, and then there's about a 15-foot rock to jump off, and there's a rope swing up there. And so we took. What grade were you in? Fifth and sixth graders, I think. We took them out there, and they were having a great time. And they're, you know, they're climbing up the rock. They're climbing up the rock, and they're going up here, and they're jumping in the water, okay? And they're having a great time, except for this one girl. Her name was Sarah. She gets up to the edge. Everybody else had jumped into the water, 15 feet down. And she's like, I can't do this. I can't do this. So I stood beside her. I said, Sarah, you can do this. Can't do it. Can't do it. I'm like, Sarah, you can do this. Look at this. Everybody else jumped in. They're all fine. They're all, she goes, I want to do this, but I just can't do it. I'm like, you can do this. We stood up there for probably 10 to 15 minutes. That is no lie. Probably 10 to 15 minutes. And she's like, I can't do it. And she turned around and walked back down. Now, her life today is fine, okay? But here's the thing. That's what happens to us many times. If she would have jumped in, she would have had a great time with her friends. But instead, she stood on the sidelines. And I think that's what happens to us so often in our lives. We get paralyzed with fear, and we stand on the edge of the rock and aren't willing to jump into the deep end and do what God asks us to do. Because we're paralyzed with fear. I mean, for me, there's been times I've just frozen because I just don't want to take the plunge. And so we miss out on so many things that God has for us because we think the activity is just a little bit too risky. So we pray safe prayers. We say, Lord, help me to be safe. Help me to find the right person to marry. Help my kids find the right person to marry. Help me find just the right car. Help me not to fail. How many of you have prayed prayers like that? I do it. I pray protection around my kids all the time. I do all of that stuff. But we pray safe prayers. How about if we started praying, God, where do you want me to take a risk today? What if we began to ask God, where do you want me to take a plunge? What if we ask God, God, how can I help my kids take a risk? How can I help my kids do what you're calling them to do rather than the safe thing? What if we began to pray prayers like that? What would that do to our lives? I don't know what it would do for your life, but I can guarantee you this. If we do those things, God answers us. And God is with us when we jump. And God is there to catch us if we fail. That's what he does. But he is there holding our hand when we jump. That's what he does. If you're a dad and your kid is on the edge of the swimming pool, what do? You either jump with them or you catch them. Am I right? That's what our dad does. That's what God does for us. That's what he does for us. But you know, if you look at the Bible, if you look at the Word of God, you see people taking risks all through the Bible. You really do. And so let's look at a couple of those. Let's look at what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 11. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 27. I'm sorry, 2 Corinthians 11. I thought that was the wrong one. 2 Corinthians 11, 23 to 27, it says, are they servants of Christ? I know I sound like a madman, but I have served him far more. I've worked harder, been put in prison more often, been whipped times without number, and faced death again and again. 5 different times, the Jewish leaders gave me 39 lashes. Three times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. Three times I was shipwrecked. Once I spent a whole night and day adrift at sea. I've traveled on many long journeys. I faced danger from rivers and from robbers. I faced dangers from my own people, the Jews, as well as from the Gentiles. I faced danger in the cities, in the deserts, and on the seas. And I faced danger from men who claim to be believers, but are not. I've worked hard and long, enduring many sleepless nights. That's what he does. I've been hungry and thirsty and gone without food. I've shivered in the cold without even clothing to keep me warm. So wherever Paul went, danger seemed to follow. Now, Paul could have said, I'm not willing to take the risk. I'm not willing to do what God's asking me to do. And he could have had an easier life. He was a tent maker. He could have made tents all day long. Much easier. Prick my finger with the needle, but no big deal. Right? He could just sit around and do what, you know, God would have been fine. God would have gotten somebody else to do what he asked Paul to do. Probably. But he had a mission for Paul. And if Paul was going to follow that mission, he's going to have to take a risk. Yeah. Just like many times God does that to us. He says, what do you want me to do? So, in Paul's commitment to follow Jesus, he went all out in his commitment. He went all out. And as I read this, I have to think, why would Paul live a life like this? Why does anybody want to live like that? Like, you read that. Shipwrecked, beaten. Who would want to do that? What motivated Paul to keep taking risks? What drove him to keep going out on a limb? What was it? Well, let's look at 2 Corinthians 5 and we'll see the answer. Look at verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 5. Actually, if you start in verse 13, it says, if it seems we're crazy, it is to bring glory to God. Wow. If it seems we're crazy, it is to bring glory to God. And if we're in our right minds, it's to our benefit. Either way, here it is. Either way, Christ's love compels us. Christ's love compels us. Christ's love controls us. Since we believe that Christ died for all, we also believe that we have all died to our old life. He died for everyone so that those who receive his new life will no longer live for themselves. Instead, here it is again, they will live for Christ who died and was raised for them. Think about this. Think about who's writing this. This is Paul, who used to go by the name Saul, who went around the region killing Christians from city to city. He'd come into these churches and he was a maniac. He'd kill Christians simply because they loved Jesus Christ. And here he's saying that the reason he takes the risk, that he does the life, is because when we live our lives for Jesus, we're no longer living for ourselves. That's the deal. That's what risk is all about. Because we don't live for ourselves anymore. When Jesus is a part of who we are, when he controls our universe, we no longer live for ourselves. So let's read on. Verse 16. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one point, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone. A new life has become. So you see, when we leave our comfort zones and we take the risk to follow Jesus no matter what, we enter in a world that is broken and we get to see people with the eyes of Jesus. And it changes our perspective. We no longer see people around us as annoying. Well, maybe we do a little bit, but it changes our perspective. If people begin to bother us, we say, okay, God, help me to understand this person. We get to see people through the eyes of Jesus rather than a person that is just annoying to us. So living our lives for Christ should give us this new perspective and give us the courage to take the risk that we need to do if we want to live the life that Jesus wants us to live. Let's read on. And all of this is a gift from God, who brought us back to himself through Christ. And God has given us this task of reconciling people to him. For God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So this word reconciliation is pretty cool. See, reconciliation is when there are two opposing views and they're reconciled to become one. These views now become compatible rather than opposite. See, we were all far from God, and because of the cross, we have this reconciliation in our lives. And because of the cross and the resurrection, God has made us one with him. And so this, the amazing thing is that this work of reconciliation, it's not finished. It's not finished. Just as Jesus found a way to have us become like him, we get the opportunity. Because when we take a risk, we get the opportunity to help others understand that reconciliation for themselves. Now, where do we do that? We do that in our neighborhoods. We do that in our workplace. We do that in our families. We do that in our churches. Because as we work together, we can make a difference in this world. We can help the world be reconciled to Christ. This opposing view, these two views can come together. And we can understand what Jesus has done for us. So let's read on as to why Paul is willing to continue to risk. In verse 20, it says, "So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God." See, we're Christ's ambassadors. We represent Christ. Everywhere we go, everything that we do, we are a message bearer of Jesus Christ. That's amazing. Why wouldn't I want to risk to become a message bearer of Jesus Christ? A message bearer of that reconciliation that people can have in their lives. It's an amazing thing if we walk in that. So let's keep reading. "For God made Christ, who never sinned, to be the offering for our sins so that we could be made right with God through Christ. As God's partners, we beg you not to accept this marvelous gift of God's kindness and then ignore it." So Paul tells us not to take this in vain. This gift of grace that we've been given, if we are ambassadors of Jesus, if we're to be these reconcilers, we must help others receive this gift. But we can't take it for granted. But we do when we don't take a risk. That's what I believe. I believe when I'm not risking my reputation. So if I'm at work, okay, and I see somebody that needs help, and I know that I can help them, I may risk my reputation by going to help them, but that's what God calls us to do. Right. But when we don't take that risk, then I think that's when we take this grace for granted. Yeah. Just what he's telling us there. He says, don't take this, don't ignore it. Don't ignore this marvelous gift that we have, because when we take a risk and share Christ with others, it helps us understand grace in our lives as well. But we can't do that when fear overtakes our lives. When fear takes over, that's when we take this grace in vain in our lives. So how do we do this? How do we become risk takers? What is it that risk takers do? Well, we talked about this. They reconcile people. They go out of their way to share with others. So where in your world are you interacting with people that are not just your friends? Where? So for me, when I was in the church world, I was around Christians all the time. Okay? And so I had to think. When I did this message a while ago, and that's why Josh asked me to come do this message. And when I did this message back then, I'm like, where am I doing this? Where am I? Because at that time, I was on the staff of a church. And I'm like, where in your world Are you interacting with people that are not just your friends and that are not like you? Probably at work. Probably at work. Maybe in your neighborhood. Maybe in your family. If you can't say that you're interacting with people that are different than you, maybe God's saying to you, hey, maybe it's time to take a risk. Maybe it's time to take a risk and go out of your way to share your life with others. So are you in relationship with people that are far from God? Or are all your friends Christians? Risk takers do what it takes to reconcile people to each other and to Jesus. That's what we do. And so it's interesting, as we moved into this world of business owners again, there are so many people that we interact with day in and day out that are different than us, that have different values than we do. But our places of employment are incredible places to interact with people that are different than us. There's this one kid that came to work for us. His name was Joe. Okay, when he came to work for us, he was a dishwasher for us. Okay? Came from a tough background, knew about God, knew what was happening. In fact, I think he went to church when he came to us. Nominal Christian. And so he worked in our kitchen as a dishwasher. And as he would work back there, one of our cooks would just keep talking to him. Hey, like, what's going on in your life? Like, what are you doing? And she was from the worship center. Her name was Patel. Did a great job of just... Stop it. Okay. Of just getting to know him and hanging, like, talking to him and making him feel special. And so Heidi would do the same thing. Heidi would talk to him and would interact with him. And over the course of time, you would see changes in his life. And eventually he started going to church, rededicated his life to Christ, simply because we said, or somebody said, not necessarily us, but Patel said, I'm going to befriend him. I'm going to, since he's working in my space, I'm going to have this continual conversation with him, and we'll see what happens. He invited us to his baptism, which was really cool. He's black, we're white, we were in a totally different section of town. It was different. The church was different than we normally go to, but it was really cool. Because that's what risk takers do. We reconcile people to God. Now, you can do that in your workplace.
Yeah, right.
You can do that in your workplace simply by saying, like Patel did, how can I be impactful in this guy's life? How do I get to know who he is? What do I do? 1 Peter 2, 3 and 4 says this. Now I need my glasses. I can't read it. Who's laughing at me? 1 Peter 2, 3, and 4, it says, still can't read it. Now that you've had a taste of the Lord's kindness, you're coming to Christ, who is the living cornerstone of God's temple. He is rejected by people, but he was chosen by God for great honor. And you are living stones that God is building into his spiritual temple. What's more, you are his holy priest. So we're his holy priest. We're the people that are going to carry out what God has for him. If we go to 14 and 15 in the same chapter, it says, the officials he has appointed for the king, he has sent them to punish those who are doing wrong, to honor those who do right. It is God's will. Here it is. It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. For you are free, yet you are God's slave. So don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil. Respect everyone and love your Christian brothers and sisters. Fear God and respect the king. So these When we take a risk, we do this. We fear God, and we respect others, and we help, and we reconcile them to God. That's what we do. So Joe's life changed because people began to share their lives with him. You have that opportunity to be a risk taker in every single one of your places of employment. That's what you can do. So what else? How else do we become risk takers? I think we do that by becoming inquisitive. Risk takers are curious about the lives of others. I think risk takers ask probing questions so they can find out about other people's lives. They don't just ask, how are you and where do you work? Risk takers are the people that, in a really short amount of time, they find out more about you than you care to share. Isn't that the case? And you're like, why did I just share that with that person? It's because they care. It's because they're willing to take a risk to find out a little bit about you. Romans 12:9 says, don't just pretend to love others. Really love them. Hate what is wrong. Hold tightly to what is good. Love each other with genuine affection and take delight in honoring each other. I think that's what a risk taker does. Risk takers are curious about the lives of others. Curious about the lives of others. I think risk takers are also spirit-led. They listen to the Holy Spirit's whisper and follow them. We actually, if we're a risk taker, we actually listen and act on that little voice in our head. Because that little voice is leading us to do what God wants us to do, if we listen. And so if I'm a risk taker, if I learn how to take a risk, I do that. There's this story in Luke 5. In Luke 5, I'm not going to read this because I don't think I have time to read it, but there's this story in Luke 5. I'm just going to tell it to you. So there was this man who was crippled. Okay, he was, and he lived his life on this 4x5 mat, okay? He was crippled, and he didn't have any friends. Well, anyway, he probably didn't have any friends because beggars back then didn't have any friends. He couldn't move. If he needed to move, someone had to come and pick him up and move him, okay? Now, there was, and back then, if you were a beggar, nobody loved you. Nobody cared for you. Nobody took care of you. Nobody showed anything to you. So if you cared for somebody back then that was a beggar, what were you? You were a risk taker. I'm reading between the lines, okay? Being a bit liberal, but I love to read between the lines in the Bible because think about, so in this story, these four people heard that Jesus was coming to town, okay? And they said, you know what? If Jesus is coming to town, that guy that's on the mat, he's our friend. Now remember, they were risk takers because he was their friend. He's our friend. If we get our friend to Jesus, once again, they're reconciling. They're risk takers. They're saying, if we get our friend to Jesus, people might laugh at us, but we don't really care. Because we love our friend. Why do they love their friend? Because they're risk takers. And so they go pick up their friend. They take him to where Jesus is, and the place is packed. Now, I think the Holy Spirit spoke to him. I can't prove that, but that's what I think. Because they're standing around, and they're like, how are we going to get our friend to Jesus? What are we going to do? And there's one risk taker in the group. There's a little bit more risk taker than the rest of them. And he goes, let's go up on the roof and let's cut a hole in the roof and let's drop him down. Hello? Why would you do that? That's ridiculous. Who would do that? I don't want a skylight in my roof. If someone went up on my roof and started cutting a hole in it, I'd be up there, what is your problem? But think about it. These guys decided to take a risk. I think the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, go up on the roof. Because if you go up on the roof, you'll get into Jesus. You'll help reconcile this man to Jesus. And so they did. They took him up on the roof and they cut this guy a new skylight that he didn't want. Now then the guy on the mat had to be a little bit of a risk taker because he's up at 10 feet. And they say, we're going to drop you down there. Hello? Why would you drop me down there? I don't want to go down there. But they're like, hey, Matt, the only way you're going to get down, you're going to get better. You caught that? The only way you're going to get better is if you get to Jesus. And we took this risk on you. Now it's your turn to take a risk. So they did. And he did. He said, all right, I'm willing to take a risk. He took this risk and they dropped him down. Who knows if he kind of fell a little bit? Who knows? He might have. But they dropped him down and right in front of Jesus. And what happens? He gets healed. Because they were risk takers. I love that story. That's my favorite story in the Bible, seriously. I love it. I talk about it a lot because I think it has so many principles. But one of them that it has is that if they didn't take that risk, if they didn't hear that voice saying, hey, let's go up on the roof. If they didn't take a risk to go pick up their friend, and if that friend didn't take a risk, none of it would have happened. But that's what he does. He tells us what to do. He tells us what to do. And so I think to become a risk taker, we need to be Spirit-led. And we need to listen and act to the Holy Spirit's whispers. Another thing that we do to become risk takers is we're kingdom ambassadors. That means we represent the kingdom of God with our lives. Risk takers live their lives with the knowledge that they are ambassadors of Jesus no matter what, no matter where they go. So when you go to work, when you run your business, when you bus tables, when you cut down logs, whatever you do, when you pastor a church, you are an ambassador of Jesus Christ. You're a risk taker. And Jesus is calling us to be risk takers. And so in your workplace, be a risk taker. Represent the kingdom of God to other people through your life. It's interesting, we don't wear our Christianity on our sleeve at our coffee shop, okay? There's no sign on the door that says Christians own this place. We're not called Kingdom Brew or anything like that. Nothing against any of that stuff, but that's not who we are. But the interesting thing is people feel it. They do. They feel it when they walk in the door. Who knows why? I know why. Because we pray about it. We ask God to be in our shop. But that's because we're kingdom ambassadors everywhere we go. We are kingdom ambassadors everywhere we go. And so there's this guy. Once again, he's a dishwasher for us. His name's Bradley. Far from God. Okay? I have no idea what he does. I mean, I know what he does when he's with us. But he loves dark music. He loves the dark world. But the other day he said to me, there's something different about this place. He said, I worked in all kinds of different places. He said, I probably worked in 5 or 6 different restaurants. And restaurants are awful to work in for a dishwasher, he said. He said, they're awful. He said, the kitchen in a restaurant is awful. He said, there's something different about this place. He said, you guys are nice to people. Huh. But you know what it is? We're kingdom ambassadors. That's what we are. We don't... Hi, how are you? I'm John. I'm a Christian. That's not what we do. We go, hey, how are you today? I'm John. Nice to have you here. We're so glad you came in today. And they feel it. But we're kingdom ambassadors to every person that walks in that door. Bradley feels it. He's like, I don't know what it is. He says, but you guys are nice to us. See, we're able, and you are able, we're all able to impact people's lives by representing the kingdom of God with our lives. So when I think about risk takers in this fashion, there are so many risk takers in this room. There are so many risk takers in this room. I'm confident of that. I don't know you guys. I know Josh. And I know that I'm confident that he encourages you to be risk takers. Because if we're not risk takers, we're not able to do what God's calling us to do. Sorry, my computer went to sleep. This is where my notes are, so here we go. So what's God asking you to do? What is he asking you to do? It was really scary for us when we decided to take this risk to be business owners. It was scary. I talked about that earlier. But you know what is amazing? God's been so faithful. When we stepped out and did what we felt God wanted us to do, there are so many people that have come to us and said, hey, we're so proud of you. So many people have said, you guys are going to be great. Who knows? If it fails, it fails. But I don't think that's what will happen. Because God asked us to take a risk. See, I didn't leave the ministry world. I didn't leave the world of church staff just to run a restaurant. That's not what I did. I left a church staff so that I could impact people's lives in a different way. Yeah. If you're a business owner, you can impact people's lives in an incredible way, simply by the way you treat them. If you're an employer, treat your people well. If you are an employee, work well. Work hard for your employer. Because remember, we're risk takers who are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. That's what we do. And if we don't do that well, we're not representing him well. So let's do it well. Let's learn to be risk takers who represent Jesus Christ in an incredible way. But what does it mean? It means we step out of our comfort zones. If everybody around us is not doing a good job, we do a good job anyway. If all the employers in our area complain about their workers all the time, instead, we praise our workers. That's what we do. That's what Christians do. So maybe God's asking you to take a risk in a different way. I don't know what he's asking you to do. Maybe he's asking you to walk across the street and to begin to build a relationship with your neighbor. Maybe he's asking you to grow a relationship with others that are far from God. Maybe the Holy Spirit's saying to you to get involved in serving here at Victory. Or maybe he's asking you to go on a missions trip. Or I don't know what he's asking you to do. Maybe he's just simply asking you to be a better employer or to be a better employee. I don't know what he's asking you to do. But I do know that God speaks to us. And if we're risk takers, we listen to the Holy Spirit and we act on it. We don't just say, I'm not sure that was the Holy Spirit talking to me. You know, if you walk past that piece of trash that's on your warehouse floor and you're not the boss and you think, oh, I should probably pick that up. And you walk right past it. You know who was telling you to pick that up? It was the Holy Spirit telling you to pick that up. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He talks to us all the time. We just have to be willing to listen to it. But that's what risk takers do. We listen and we act on what the Holy Spirit tells us to do. So I don't know what God's asking you to do. But wouldn't it be amazing? Wouldn't it be amazing if we all decided to be risk takers? Because I believe, this is what I believe. I believe when we step out of our comfort zone, God does incredible things in our lives. He does incredible things in our lives. So we have this opportunity, folks. to be risk takers. We have this incredible opportunity to step out and make a difference in the world simply by taking a step. Sometimes it's just a step. It's not always a leap. Sometimes it's just a step. So I believe God's calling us to do that. I don't know what he spoke to you, but I do know what he spoke to me. So I encourage you to be a risk taker. Let's pray. God, thank you for the fact that you speak to us plainly. God, you want us to be people who reconcile others, who listen to your Holy Spirit, and who act on that. And so, Lord, I pray you would help us to be ambassadors of your love to people that are far from God, that are in our workplace. That you would, Father, I pray that you would help us to be an ambassador to those that are our bosses. And if we're employers, I pray that you would help us to be ambassadors to our employees. Thank you, Father, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Would y'all let John know how much you appreciate him tonight? Here's what I know. I know there is no success without taking risks. I know that there is no living for Christ without taking risks. I know that Peter stepped out of the boat and it was a risk. I know Jesus coming here to do what he did for us was taking a risk because nobody believed in him yet. I know that tithing is taking a risk. I know that you lifting your hand in worship is taking a risk. I know that when you make a decision to follow Christ, you're taking a risk. I know that for me, being a parent meant taking a big risk. I know that when we started the church, it was taking a risk. I know that signing the dotted line for $1.5 million in 08 when the stock market had totally collapsed to build this place so that God could touch the world from here was taking a risk. I think about those of you who bought companies and stepped out and so many different ways you guys are taking risks. We've got to be risk takers. There should be more skateboard ramps. There should be more trampolines that don't have 360-degree netting around them. Come on. I mean, less tetanus shots and more rust in our life. Y'all know what I'm talking about. I mean, everybody's wearing a helmet now. I never wore a helmet riding a bike. Yeah, that's debatable. So, man, I am so excited, though, for what you've shared with us because I know God wants us to do big things, and I know that every day we can start taking smaller risks that lead to bigger results, and that begins with just connecting with other people. Would y'all stand with me tonight? A couple things.